Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey everybody, welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. Today we've got Dr. Barbecue Ray Lampe with us from Florida. Ray's headed down to New Orleans tomorrow for the patio and barbecue show. I was going to show up at that thing this year, but I had something kind of pop up the last couple weeks here that it doesn't have anything to do with the coronavirus. And so I have to stay home and take care of that. So have a good time down there, man. That'll going to be fun.
Yeah, sure we will. Unfortunately, I think the show has been hurt a little bit by the whole situation. And, you know, it may not be fully built out this year, but what are you going to do? You know, it's just...
You got to keep going.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but you got to go forward.
Yeah, it is. So I got some kind of fun questions here for you, Ray. And... couple of them are not real serious, but they're about as serious as we ever get on the show. But then a lot of them are just for fun. So here we go. If you could cook and then dine with a historical figure, who would it be?
Julia Child for sure, because I never met Julia, and I got. You know, if she was alive now, I would have met her, I'm sure, because
sure.
I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of those kind of people. And I did have some mutual friends with Julia. I just kind of always thought I would get around to meeting her. So I never made any great effort, and I never did. And that one kind of hurts me.
Well, maybe in the next dimension, you'll get to do that. You never know.
There you go.
What would you say is your success to failure ratio when you're creating a new dish or recipe, meaning how much do you have to practice and tweak it till it finally gets where you want it?
Nowadays, it's not too hard at all. I have a high success rate at this point just because of experience, you know? So these days I'd say it's 80%. I can knock it out in one try. And then there's 20% that I do have to make a couple efforts at. But what happens is, so when you start developing recipes at that high level, you've got to measure everything that goes in. If you come in my kitchen, there's always a scale. There's three sets of measuring spoons. There's a bunch of measuring cups.
Sure.
But it goes backwards. So instead of you see a recipe and it says a third of a cup of flour, you add that. I say this is how much flour I'm going to need, and then I measure it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, over the years, I've gotten pretty good at knowing about a third a cup of flour is going to be correct for this dish right here, or whatever sugar or whatever it may be. So I'm pretty accurate now. Now, what I would typically do is add a quarter cup and reserve that little bit that makes it a third cup just to make sure.
Right.
If you put too much in, now you can't help yourself. You're done. If you don't put enough in, you can always add a little bit more to get it up to where you want it. But in general, I'm pretty good at it now just because of experience. I can taste something and say, that needs the juice from a half a lime, because that's going to make that just right. And I'm generally pretty accurate these days. So I'd say my success rate these days is high. In the early days, not so much.
Okay. I can relate to that. So in looking at the current status of barbecue competitions, there's a lot of emphasis on barbecue competitions, and that's all well and good. But I've asked this question I ask it to Emily, then Emily Detweiler there at the new boss at KCBS. I've asked it of a lot of people, so I want to ask you. The last figure I saw, and I don't know how accurate it is, but I think it's fairly accurate. There's about 70 million plus people in this country that grill or barbecue or do a little outdoor cooking. Most of it is seasonal, but they're not hardcore like guys like us. But you live in Florida, so you know you're not kind of encumbered by a lot of snow like you were when you were in Chicago. But my point is, what can we do to reach out to those people more and not always just focus on the competitions?
Well, I mean, I think we're getting there. It's certainly come a long way. You know, like you mentioned earlier, I don't think it was off air, but about cooking your turkey
right
on the grill at Thanksgiving. Well, you know, it's not that long ago that was an odd, rare thing to do. Nowadays, it's pretty common. I was talking to the guy from Flame Boss, the electronic controller
sure.
that works on charcoal grills. And I was talking to him, and he said the busiest day of the year for them is Thanksgiving Day. He said they need to be fully staffed on Thanksgiving Day for service calls. People that, because everybody is got their grill fired up to cook their turkey. And he said it's, you know, it's a huge day. Not only they have to take phone calls to help people, they also have to monitor their whole Wi-Fi system to make sure it's all working correctly.
Right.
Because people are counting on it. And that really made me think that it's interesting how far it has come that everybody is cooking their turkey on the grill nowadays. That's the busiest day of the year. He said the second busiest is Christmas because that's prime rib day. Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting. It's come a long way. So I think we're getting there. But that's the kind of mainstream thing. That's not just the barbecue freaks. That means everybody's cooking their turkey on the grill. Now, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it gets the turkey out of the kitchen. You know,
yep.
Now the oven's free for all the other stuff on Thanksgiving and same with Christmas, but it also must taste good or mom wouldn't let you do it.
Right. Right. Well, you know, when you were talking in the regular show about new recipes you're creating and stuff with turkey, and you were talking about a deal you made the other day with some peppers and then you grilled some turkey and you made a sandwich out of it and that's all good. When my mom was a great cook, but she wasn't worth a damn when it came to cooking a turkey because it was always dry as an old shoe. You know, it just was. And the thing that she would do at the end, and so if people have heard this before, bear with me. It's a quick story. She would cook and we would serve and we used a lot of gravy. And so, and then there would be the carcass, right? And she would want to go clean the carcass, pick it, as she called it, because she liked to make turkey soup. And her turkey soup ranked with me right above lima beans, which isn't very high on the Jeff scale. Trust me on that. And so when I got older and I took over cooking Thanksgiving dinner, I always took the bird out to the utility room, which is ways away from the kitchen, and we carved it and prepared it out there. And then as the other people, he's not really my brother, but we're kind of like brothers. He was taking the turkey to the table, the sliced turkey to the table and all this. And the gals were putting the mashed potatoes on and blah, 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 blah. Jeff was back there cleaning this carcass. Well, we lived on a ranch. So I could literally walk out the back door, take that carcass and throw it over the fence and the coyotes would come get it. And my mom would come in at the end and say, where's the turkey? I want to clean that off for the soup. It's gone. It's already, you know, here's the pile of meat right here. It's gone. Cause she'd like clean it and she'd boil it down. And oh God, it was just, and her soup was always really greasy. So, just, I don't know why I was bringing up that story right now, other than the fact that
nice story.
It's fun, but man, I got so I could hurl a turkey carcass about, 75 feet. Really good. Hit the target every time.
The reason our turkeys aren't that dry anymore is because of guys like me and you spreading the gospel and really Alton Brown and regular chefs too.
Yeah.
because now everybody uses a thermometer. My grandma had like an old school dial meat thermometer that she might stick in a beef roast, but that thing didn't help her much with the turkey.
Right.
Or they would put the thing in there that they would pop up, but then grandma would cook it a little extra anyway, just in case. And those things were set to overcook it in the first place.
Yeah.
Now we all have got these fancy electric thermometers and we know the right temperature. And we know that if my thermopen says 160, that turkey's done.
Yep.
I don't have to cook it anymore.
Yep.
You know, my grandma wasn't sure. So what'd she do? She cooked it a little more and maybe she cooked it a lot more. And then she would guess and thought it took 6 hours to cook a turkey and,
yep,
and cook it for the whole 6 hours just in case. And yeah, that was a lot of dried turkey. I really think dry turkey is a thing of the past.
Yeah, I certainly hope so for the safety of mankind, because my mom would, she'd get up early in the morning and she would go, I got to put the turkey in. I said, well, the people aren't coming till like 2 o'clock. You know, I got to put the turkey in. And
you take a long time to cook.
A long time to cook, man. Turkeys take a long time to cook. And that sucker would come out of there and it was like stamped Reebok on the side of it or something. You know, like I said, Ray, a lot of gravy, an awful lot of gravy.
Right.
She made a huge pan. Okay. What does a fantasy day look like for Ray? And not an overly personal fantasy day, but contained for activity. So if you can do, if you step away from the barbecue, you step away from your business for a day, and it's just your day to do stuff. What do you do?
It's funny. I stay home. It's interesting. There's a video of me out there from way back when driving my van along the Columbia River out by you, and I was being interviewed by a lady and she said, you know, what is your similar question? I said, well, my vacation is to go home because I travel so much and
right.
I love it. I'm not complaining at all. But if I do have some free time, I don't feel like going anywhere. I've been everywhere. So I want to go home. I mean, my favorite days these days is in the football season. I get to Sundays, I don't go to the restaurant at all. There's generally nothing else going on. So Sundays, I will get up in the morning, go to the store, find something to cook, and usually something braised on the stove that's going to hang around and simmer for a long time. And
yep.
And maybe make a cheese plate and sit around and watch football all day and do nothing. and maybe take a dip in the pool if it's the weather's right and just kind of hang around my house because I just don't get to do that much. And that's really my favorite days is, you know, you might think it was going to New Orleans to be the guest host of the tailgate cook-off and then go eat dinner at some fancy restaurant and go drink it on Bourbon Street. But that's actually my job.
So yep.
My fun time is to come home and kind of do nothing.
Yep. No, I get it. So what is your least favorite food to cook? It can be anything. It can be meats or vegetables or whatever. What's
your... Well, I've never, if I ate a salad, it would be the first salad I ever ate in my life. but I do have to cook them sometimes. So, I mean, I don't mind because people do enjoy them, but it's not very rewarding for me. So I would salad all the way.
There you go. If I declared you supreme ruler of barbecue for 1 week, what would be one or two things that you would decree? King Ray, boom.
Maybe we would quit cooking all of our barbecue in pans. We would cook it on the grate where the smoke and fire could get at it like God intended barbecue to be cooked.
I like that. I like that a lot. Do you remember the first thing you ever, you know, barbecued, grilled, or smoked?
Yeah, I do because I didn't have a grill. I was probably 24, 25 years old and I learned how to cook and I like to cook, but I didn't have a grill and my friend signed us up for a barbecue rib cooking contest. So I borrowed a grill and a Weber kettle, borrowed it from somebody and brought it home and I went to the store and bought some ribs and gave them a shot and they were all right. And then I went to the cook-off and I cooked some ribs. So it was, I mean, right shortly after that, I started cooking a lot of different things. I bought my own grill, but
sure.
But that was, I pretty much sure that that's the first thing I ever cooked on a grill.
Okay. So if we put all your culinary skills to music, what would the music be?
It would be Locomotive Breath by Jethro Tull.
I love that. I love that.
This is a song I've been listening to my whole life.
Yeah.
It's it was sort of our anthem growing up when we were Wayne and Garth in the basement.
Yep.
So that one stays with me.
There you go. Do you remember the worst concert you ever attended?
I saw Bob Dylan once, and he really couldn't sing at all anymore. That wasn't that pleasant.
Yeah.
It's been a long time. I don't go much anymore, man. I just don't. I know what it was. I was at the Super Bowl, and the Who were playing at halftime, and they were terrible.
Oh my!
Oh my God! And that's a long time ago, too. I don't know. I can't believe they're still playing. They're just too old. Sorry.
Maybe it's what Mick Jagger or Keith Richards said. He goes, "Yeah, they still tour because they need the money. We don't." I remember.
It must have been because, boy, they were tired, man. They should have stayed home.
Okay. Just a couple, three more here. I know how I fit into this. Would you describe yourself as corn-fed or grass-fed?
Corn-fed, no question.
Yeah, me too. Boxers or briefs?
I recently switched. I was always a brief guy, and I've recently switched to boxers.
There you go. Dire Straits or Justin Bieber?
Neither.
What's your favorite?
I could listen to Dire Straits if I have to. I wouldn't know a Justin Bieber song if I heard it.
Yeah, I understand. Your favorite movie?
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Jesus, so you're hitting close to my home here, Ray. Yeah. So true.
I'm old, man.
I get it. If you were in charge, what would be the biggest change that you would think that should be made to competitive barbecue?
You can't cook in your trailer. The food all has to stay outside. I think that would be it would go a long way towards the public enjoying it.
Yeah, there you go. Sweatshirts or formal wear?
I live in Florida, man. I don't wear either of those things.
Well, maybe I should say socks or no socks, put it that way, in Florida.
Socks.
There you go. Is there one thing, and I'll kind of wrap this up. Well, actually, two things. What's the hottest, newest thing that you've seen that can help people cook barbecue? That, you know, because they're always coming out with new stuff.
Yeah, I'm not much of a gadget guy, so I always have trouble with that.
Uh-huh.
I think all these new charcoals, charcoal is no longer just something to cook with. There's different levels of quality, and it's really being explored a lot, and I think that's a pretty cool thing. But also the other one, it's been around for a little while now, though, but it always irks me that I didn't think of this, is the butcher paper, wrapping things in butcher paper instead of aluminum foil. I wish I'd have thought of that, because it's just a really good idea. Because when we wrap things in foil, you know, you steam the heck out of it. And
right.
That's the way it is. If we wrap them in butcher paper, they just get larded because the butcher paper gets all soaked with fat. So it's kind of like you ever take a cheesecloth and lay it on your turkey so the fat would just kind of hang out on there.
Right.
And that's what the butcher paper does, but it seems it to some degree, but it's not a tight packet that's you know, cooking it brutally, and it lets some of the juices run off. I just think that's a really nice tool for barbecuing that we didn't have not that long ago. And again, I wish, my only problem with it is I didn't think of it.
Well, there you go. Besides your own, what are the best barbecue book you've read or looked at?
Well, Stephen Raiklin, he just does a whole nother level of work compared to the rest of us. You know, Stephen's a intellectual dude that writes cookbooks, and the rest of us are barbecue guys just kind of writing a story. So I'd go with any of Stephen's books.
He's good, and he cranks one out every year. I asked him.
They're big, man. They're massive.
Yeah, and I asked him something. He was on the show. He's on the show once or twice a year anyway. And so I last time he was on, I made the mistake of said something like, Steven's written 23 books, and he goes, you hear him in the background going, it's 33.
Oh, yeah. No, like I said, he's a professional cookbook author.
Yeah.
The rest of us are barbecue guys trying to write some cookbooks here and there, but Steven's killing it.
Do you ever smoke a penguin?
No, but if you got one, I'd be happy.
Okay. The reason I ask, a couple months ago, and I've asked this question to several people, but there was a deal on the internet where this guy smoked a whole camel. I don't know if you saw that. Some guy in the Middle East.
I think it's pretty common, actually.
Yeah.
In places where they eat camels.
Yeah, I've had camel. It's not my first choice, because I was looking at it, and I thought, is he smoking a buffalo or something? Yeah, I kind of looked at it, and then I started really focusing and paying attention to what was going on. I said, my God, that's a whole camel he's got in there. So anyway, well, Ray, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Jeff. Really always fun to talk to you, and let's do it again soon.
We will. Take care. That's it, everybody. We appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week with another edition of After Hours here on Barbecue Nation.